Lacey drink after that. All right. No, all set. All right, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much. It is good to be back. It was a fantastic trip, but there is just no place like home. That seems to be the case no matter where we go. So I was thinking about it. Usually when Pastor Cable leaves, there's one baby born. But when I leave, there's two babies born, apparently. So if any of you ladies are anxious, maybe my family should skip town again and we can expedite things for you. But congratulations to Jeff and Melissa and the whole family, and of course, Elijah and Gabrielle. We are excited for you. And it was great to hear the news while we were gone. It was a fantastic time. It was a fantastic trip. Tonight's going to be really quite light. I'm just going to give you a report of what we experienced, just kind of tell you about our trip, what we saw of the Barkowskis' ministry down there, which was a fantastic thing to be able to see. They're doing a great work. Alicia and I can vouch for that, and we had an opportunity to participate in that work, and we'll tell you about that tonight. And then just at the end, we'll look at a brief passage of Scripture by way of encouragement and exhortation, and then we'll be able to get to the watermelon. So before I get into that, I do want to mention the Kids Country Fair, though, because just in this respect, I'd like everybody to join in prayer in regards to this. If you remember back during Christmas time, we worked with Danny's Helping Hands to minister to a couple families that are within the community. I had an opportunity to meet with that organization just a couple weeks ago to discuss what kind of opportunities we can have to continue to reach into the community to needy families. And I mentioned to them the Kids Country Fair as a means to be able to extend what we do to the community. I told them what it's all about, and they thought it was fantastic. They thought it was great. And they invited me to send them some flyers and advertisements and said that they can reach out to about 80 different families with the potential of just letting them know what we're doing and see if we can get them here. So if you were on the fence about volunteering before I said that, you probably just jumped off the fence and said, no, I'm out of here. But it's a great opportunity. It is a really fantastic opportunity. And so pray about that, because there could be some very specific families that perhaps at such a time as this, the Lord could coordinate what's going on and open up an opportunity to bring somebody in that we can reach and minister to. So I'm really looking forward to that and to see what comes of it. So join in that, and then keep that whole process in prayer, because I expect it'll open up other opportunities in the future as well for us to be able to reach into Alma. There were actually a few other pastors and all that were slated to get together in this meeting, and I was the only one that ended up being there. So I hope that that does reflect on Calvary Heights Baptist Church well, and that it will give us some specific opportunities with that group and that organization. They're a great group of ladies that are working over there. So, all right, Trinidad. What a fantastic time it was. It really was a good time. We loved going together. I am very glad that Alicia was able to join me. We were able to see the ministry together and be there together. We left on May 16th. Which was Wednesday. We were supposed to land at 9:30 p.m. Wednesday night. We landed at 4:30 a.m. Thursday morning. So things did not go as planned and as they were supposed to. Knowing the subtropical storm that is coming up right now, though, in those waters, coming up from the south, up north into Florida, I think we probably had the right weekend to go. Who knows what it would have been like this week and the coming week. But it was a rough experience getting down there. The flights were smooth. There were just a lot of delays. Fortunately, we made all of the connections and things worked out. Fortunately, they didn't cancel any flights. But we did finally get down there, and Brad Barkowski was so gracious to be there at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 when we landed. And with a smile on his face and a hug ready to go, he was such a generous individual in that process. And then we learned also that Brad and Felicia and the kids were also generous to be able to take care of us. They are a great, great family. And they are full of kindness and generosity, and it was our blessing to be there. And so we did land early Thursday morning. As we did that, you can imagine we took off at 12 o'clock the previous day, and so Thursday really was just a recovery day. We didn't do a whole lot on Thursday. But before we get into how the week went, a lot of people have asked, where is Trinidad and Tobago? And so if you don't really even know where it is, you can see the United States there. It's a little bit further. I'll zoom up on it in a second, but you can see the United States on the left there. So it's almost just south of us, a little bit south. I got to get my orientations right there, right? A little bit southeast. And so if you go south, they're in the same time zone. They're just on the northern coast of South America, right above Venezuela. And as you zoom in a little bit closer, that is the island of Trinidad. Tobago actually isn't in that picture. Tobago is up to the northeast also. It's about a four-hour ferry ride from the island of Trinidad, or a 20-minute flight if you want to make it a little bit quicker. But that's it. It's only about 10 or 11 miles off the coast of Venezuela. It's very close to the coast. You can actually see Venezuela from the Barkowski's house. And so that's where we went. I don't know if you can see it. I think you should be able to, but to the left of that little Google dot there, and a little bit down, you see San Fernando. Does everybody see San Fernando? Maybe those up closer. In the back, maybe a little bit harder. That is where the Barkowskis are centered, and that's where their ministry is, where they live, and that's where they're doing a fantastic job. And so we landed in the port of Spain, went south, and got settled in the wee hours of the morning to be able to get some rest. Trinidad is surrounded by water, and we saw a whole lot of it. This is the wharf that is right out of San Fernando. It did not smell good. It was stinky. I don't know, Pastor Cable, if you had a chance to go there when you were there, but it smelled like fish. And he even warned us because we love the water, we love the views and everything as well. And so he was just kind of driving us around town. And I think it was Alicia that said, is there anywhere where we can see the water? And he said, well, no. He said, we'll go to the water on Monday, because that was a day off as well. So we'll go to the water on Monday, and we kind of pressed a little bit. He said, there's some coast right here, but you don't want to go there because it smells bad. And we pressed him anyways, and he had to go see a tire guy. So he said, all right, we can kill two birds with one stone. He went to his contact over there. They checked out his tires, and they gave him some air in the tires, and we just walked over to the water, and it did stink. He was absolutely right. But they did. There's some fishing that goes on there. The water was a little bit polluted just from different things. You could see some of the water was murkier than what you would think in a tropical paradise that you might find in some areas in the Caribbean. But it's surrounded by water, but it's got some beautiful countryside. These are all places, of course, that we saw, that we drove through. Some very, very thick, rich countryside. Even would remind you of a rainforest, of how thick and how green and how lush it is. And just some gorgeous views. And this was all more in the northwestern part of Trinidad. It doesn't all look like this. But this is certainly some of the beauty that comes out of Trinidad. Some of the beauty that Alicia and I really enjoyed seeing. That one probably could have been brightened up a lot, but what a beautiful view with the sunsets and the sunrises. There were some breathtaking views, not to mention views like that. Just wonderful. Now, I can fast forward to Monday because this is the day that we had off when he took us to the coast that was on the northwest there. And this was at one of the stops. He kept telling us, he kept saying it, because when we went to Israel, I think we had 2,000 pictures or something like that. And this time, as I was putting this together, I was thinking, I wish I had actually a little bit more specific content to show you. There's about 50 pictures tonight that we're going to go through to go pretty quickly. But we still, once we got up into the mountains, we got into that mode where, oh my goodness, we got to take pictures of every single view. You know, so he's going 100 kilometers per mile or an hour, 100 kilometers an hour, whatever that registers to, which is probably 60 or 65 or something like that. And, you know, we're just trying to snap things out the window. And Pastor Cable, I'm sure, completely understands just because of our recent trip. You know, and you look at the pictures later, and it's just a big blur. You don't learn your lesson. And Pastor Brad, he kept telling us, don't worry, there's a lookout spot coming up. Those are the pictures that you want. We didn't listen to him. We're just snapping pictures as much as we can. Well, we got to this lookout spot. And that's what we saw. It was just amazing. And the reason why I'm putting these in here is because God created that. And only God could create something so beautiful. And it doesn't even, pictures don't even do it justice. I wish that I could pull you out of your seats and drop you right there in that location so you could behold it with your own eyes. You could feel the breeze. You could hear the water and the birds singing. It's just the majesty of God in His creation. It's amazing. This was the other direction. Just absolutely amazing. That is the actual direction we were heading. We kind of hugged the coast and went around. There are three beach or shore locations that are snuggled in there. That first one you see just beyond the bushes there is, I believe that's the one he said was the most popular beach spot. And then there's a second one you can see just barely peeking through. And then we even went further past that is where we ended up going. But just absolutely beautiful. And this is where he took us, just to be able to see God's creation and even just to have a breather. And he needed a breather too. Because as we talk about what the week was, you'll know that Pastor Brad and Felicia, they do an amazing work and they do a lot of work. And this in particular is Pastor Brad's retreat to clear his mind, to clear the air. And Alicia and I were able to enjoy that and to be able to see the beauty of it, hear the waves rolling in and the sand, just a couple seashells scattered along the beach. Just absolutely a beautiful day, as you can see. God blessed us to be able to enjoy that. It was just at about 4:30 when we left that the rain started pouring down. It was just perfect timing. And as we left, I don't know where I've got the picture. I don't know. It's not quite. I'll show you where the picture. But as we left, we needed to get dinner before the food place closed at about 5:30. And the rain came at just the right time because that's when we were leaving. That picture, I remember showing you the Israel pictures. And what was the one type of tree that I showed you right in the beginning of the presentation that we saw everywhere? What was that? Olive trees, yeah. Well, this is what we saw everywhere in Trinidad. That is a... Does anybody know what that is? I don't want to say it yet. Does anybody know what that is? What's that? A mango. Mango, that's right. Except it's not a mango tree. This is what I learned, and I promised the young people I would go back and that I would teach everybody back in the United States. It is a mango tree. A mango. Oh my goodness, I was humiliated. Absolutely humiliated. It's Friday night was the night. You'll see just a couple pictures of the night. But it was youth night, and I had the opportunity to preach to the young people. They were teens to early 20s. And I brought up in my preaching an illustration. I brought up there was a mango smoothie that we got. It was called a mango lassie. And none of them knew what I was. They just kind of looked at me like, and I thought I was going to really connect and touch base with them, you know, like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Mango lassie. And they all just looked at me like, mango lassie, what is that? And then once they figured it out, what it was, they died in laughter. They just laughed at me. It's a mango. They kind of still didn't know what it was even after that. But it was a smoothie. But it's a mango. So you don't put the N and the G together. They're two separate words. So it's mango. So everybody with me together on the count of three. One, two, three. Mango. So I kept my word. You all have been taught. And that's there. They just hang from the tree in bunches. It's great. Unfortunately, they weren't quite in season. I guess June is when they really ripen and when they're ready and raring to go. So we didn't really get to partake. I love mango quite a bit. It's really good. It's a tremendous fruit. Not only that, I don't know who that crazy guy is, but does anybody know what that might be?
Coconut.
It's a coconut. You'll see another picture, but there are food stands, fruit stands, all over the place on the sides of the roads. You don't have to go too far at all. You just drive up and you can get out. And we were driving along and Pastor Brad, he loves to drink this. Felicia doesn't like it just as much quite, but he said, you guys want some coconut water? And so we said, yeah, because we just kind of wanted to experience everything that was going on. And so there they were in the back, just filled up in the back of the truck. They had their machetes that they were opening them up with, just put a straw right in there and sell them to people as they go on by. And so Pastor Brad downed one himself, and Alicia and I shared one. It was okay. It wasn't the best, but it was fortified with minerals and vitamins, and it was worth drinking. And we felt like it was warm, though. That was the thing. It wasn't very cold, but it was still pretty neat. We asked Brad, why do coconuts look like that and not like the brown coconuts that a lot of people think of with those really hard shell, kind of the fibrous strands on the outside of them? He had no idea what we were talking about. And we were kind of thinking, they're the ones in Trinidad, of all people should know, in the Caribbean. So we talked to him, and he said, you know what? I forgot all about this. Yes, Mr. Ray.
What do they charge for the coconut water?
That was 8 TT. So TT is their denomination. The exchange rate is 7 TT to the dollar. Maybe a little bit less if you're going to the exchange. So that was 8 TT, just a little bit more than a dollar. So actually, we personally felt that prices were not so far off over there, that there was a lot that was really comparable as far as being affordable and very practical. And just for a little bit more than a dollar, you can have a fresh coconut with water in it and drink it down. And so, we asked him about these coconuts. He looked at us, what are you talking about? And then he kind of jogged his memory and said, yeah, you're right, as he thought about these coconuts that we're familiar with. He said, I forgot all about those, and I've never seen them here. So it was later that day that they dropped us off at the grocery store to do a little grocery stop shopping to be able to get some of the specific things that we needed, in particular for my health needs and whatnot. And as we were at the grocery store, bam, there they were. I'm thinking, Brad, what are you talking about? So there you go. That's 8 TT, the same as right on the side of the road. But that's that brown, fibrous, stranded coconut. I took a picture and I sent it to him as quick as I could. And I said, there they are. So there's just a lot of tropical fruit everywhere. Mango, coconut, papaya, and all other kinds of things that you could imagine. They actually don't grow a lot of vegetables. They do farm and whatnot. But a lot of the food, a lot of the produce even, meats, they are imported from the States. And so you go into the grocery store. This specific grocery store that we went to was a very nice grocery store, reminded us of Wegmans on some levels. It was nice. They told us it was the nicest in the town. But most of the packaging that you look at, even with the fresh food, it's imported. And it's coming from the United States or perhaps some other locations. And so this is an example of just your typical fruit stand that you would see on the side of the road. Bananas, of course, plantains, yes, plantains, all kinds of different size bananas that are that big, or if they would be plantains, I don't know for sure, you know, bigger bananas, bunches of bananas, just all over the place. All you got to do is stop and get you some. This here is one of the most popular food items that we were told you've got to try when you're in Trinidad. They're called doubles. That's what we saw the kids. They said, did you have a double yet? That would be one of the first things they asked us. Did you have a double? And so I don't even know how to describe it exactly. Pastor Brad told us that it was kind of like a falafel type substance. Does anybody know what falafel is? I'm assuming. It's more of a Mediterranean type, Middle Eastern Greek type food. Go to Pita Gourmet. It's up on transit. They just opened up right off of the transit exit on the 90. They're delicious. If I start throwing around words like tahini and tzatziki, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about either, but they're balls. Well, I had this picture of this big ball of dough or something, and he said they put this chickpea kind of sauce on top of it, and they just all love it. Well, it ended up being this almost this flat type of bread, a flat bread. A doughy substance, and it did have chickpeas that they kind of poured right on it, and it really was delicious. We had it for breakfast, though, because we tried to get it the evening before, but the vendor who sold it was not there, and so we had to get it in, and he said, you know what, they eat it for breakfast and for lunch and dinner, and we said, okay, and this was right around the corner from the church, so Sunday morning, right before church, we downed a double. And it honestly was good. We both enjoyed it. We probably would have preferred it for lunch or probably for dinner if the truth were told. And then we also had a potato pie. a potato pie that we had there, which was very much the same thing, except they put potato substance in there. And so we were full of these things when we went to church, needless to say. This is the bacon shark, a lot of fish, a lot of fish items. This is what we're able to eat. It was not all too awful, the kinds of things that you can eat down there. And you can see a little bit of pineapple in there. It was very delicious. This is what we were able to enjoy on the Monday there. It's a very culturally rich area. There's a lot of religions all over the place. That is a mosque right there. I do recall at some point that we did hear some prayers being shouted out. It wasn't as obtrusive as we might have experienced when Pastor Cable and I were in Israel. But there's churches everywhere, Pentecostals, Roman Catholics, Muslims. This next picture is not their church, but if you can read that, that's Mount Olive Number 1 Independent Baptist Church is what that church building is right there. Churches, Baptist churches all over, and different kinds of Baptist churches. Not just independent, but kind of like we would have the Southern Baptist Convention and the Garb churches here and our type of church, independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. You have them all over. But Hinduism also is a very big part of their culture. There was one individual. His name was Mr. Phillips, so I was very easily able to remember his name. He attended the church, and he asked me a question. He says, "Do you believe that a Hindu can be saved?" is the question that he asked me, because it really is a very prominent part of their culture. And so I told him, my answer was yes, absolutely, a Hindu can be saved. And I didn't really fully understand what he was asking, and Pastor Brad kind of helped me understand, but I explained to him, as long as that individual comes to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and repents of his sin and asks Jesus Christ to forgive him, he can absolutely be saved. A Roman Catholic can be saved. A Muslim can be saved. And a Baptist can be saved, for that matter. So I told him, yes, absolutely, a Hindu individual can be saved. And so I was talking to this with Pastor Brad, and he said, you know what? He said, a lot of these individuals can and will get saved out of those religions, but just the way that their culture is, they could even step outside of their religion, no longer practice it, attend a good Bible-believing church, and grow spiritually. But they, he said, they will, for the most part, always identify themselves as a Hindu, though. As a Hindu, naturally connecting themselves with Hinduism and those kinds of religious beliefs and the gods that they believe in. So it was a very significant question that he was asking. Kind of communicating that even though he knows that they've been saved, they still don't separate themselves from that identification. And so it's, you know, with all these different religions and these different backgrounds that a lot of them have, they have their hands full in reaching out to these communities. And it's a tremendous thing. And so this here is San Fernando. On Thursday, Pastor Brad was able to take us to San Fernando Park. Gave us a real good view. That is the Gulf of Paria right over there. That's looking out northwest. But you can see that there's a lot of community in the surrounding area, a lot of housing and a lot of villages and whatnot. Obviously, there's a little bit of the grass and the shrubbery that is in the foreground. But this is San Fernando. This is where they live. This is where they minister. This is the street that they live on. There are some very nice communities, but I want you to keep that in mind because there's going to be some pictures that I show you that are very eye-opening to the mission field that the Barkowskis and Cornerstone Baptist Church are able to minister in. But it's there's some very nice communities. You can see some very nice houses. This is actually looking out from the house that the Barkowskis are renting. That is looking out towards the wharf, the Gulf of Paria, where it smells awful bad. But you can see normal houses there with metal roofs. This is looking out in the other direction. Some generally nice communities, but there's a vast separation between those who have and those who do not have in that country over there. But this is San Fernando, and this is the lovely family that we love in San Fernando. That is the latest picture. Of course, that is Pastor Brad Barkowski, his wife Felicia. James is their eldest son. Sophia is that beautiful girl that Pastor Brad is holding. And Ella is just that cute little baby that we were able to spend some time with that Felicia is holding. Just a wonderful family. I can't say enough. Keep this family in your prayers. Remember this picture. We can get you an updated picture of the Barkowski family if you have one that you hang in your home. But we just had a wonderful time with them. Once again, they were very gracious to us. They took such good care of us. They were very patient and very willing to allow us to be able to experience Trinidad. It was just a fantastic opportunity to spend time with them. Those kids are just a blast. They are so much fun. When we would wake up in the morning and come upstairs, we would be greeted by, it's like we were greeted by a welcoming host all over again. They would get excited and jump up. But remember them. Don't ever forget them. Don't forget their faces. Don't let them slip your minds. They are doing a tremendous thing, and they need our prayers. They need us to be able to support them. This is their church, Cornerstone Baptist Church in San Fernando. Pastor Brad Barkowski, Brother O'Neill, is the right-hand man that Pastor Brad is using right now. He's helping him out in a tremendous way. You can pray for him because he has to renew his papers to be able to stay in Trinidad. He is from the Bahamas, from Nassau in particular, and he's going to have to actually leave for a few weeks to hopefully get all that back in order. He has to do that every 6 months, if I recall, and is quite a burden for them to get through. But Cornerstone Baptist Church, this church is located on the bottom level of a storefront. That front store there is kind of a Hindu clothing store, if I recall right. And you walk closer to the gates on the side there, a nice picture of Cornerstone Baptist Church. Take a trip down the stairs, and then you find a lovely church building and lovely church people on the inside. These are not actually pictures that I took while we were in Trinidad. This is pictures from this weekend. Since we left, they are having a missions conference that they were preparing for. And it was really neat to see all of the church people, the vast majority of them participating. What they did was they divided the world up into three different sections, Africa, the Americas, and I don't remember exactly what the third area was, but there was a group of people that were all participating for each area. So you can see they're all kind of dressed up in different types of clothing that would represent the area that they're going to. Brad is doing a wonderful job of cultivating a mind for missions in his church. And so you can pray for that as he gets that established. There's another group of people right there. Brother O'Neill is the individual in between the two ladies in red. His wife, Charisse, is to the right, and they both are a lovely couple. You can pray for them. Charisse has battled some health issues that has limited her ability to fully participate in the ministry that they have there. So if you can think of Charisse, you can pray for her. You can see kids. If you're looking closely, you can see a lot of young people that are present and represented. So that's Africa right there. If you look at the tall lady in the back with the gold headset on, and then you look to the right, to the first man in the back row there, he's wearing, or actually a second, there's a guy behind the lady in red, but the one wearing white, that is Rajin. And we had a great opportunity to do some work in Trinidad with him, in particular the religious institute classes. And he is someone new to the church, and he is just on fire for the Lord just to serve and to do something. And so that's a blessing because Pastor Brad and the whole church can really use some good men that are dedicated to the work there. And there they are again. Aren't they great? I don't know how Ella is doing that floating thing there, but just beautiful, beautiful kids and a whole lot of fun. So this is how our weekend began. I wanted to show you those slides just to give you an idea of what Trinidad looks like, where they are, what's going on as far as their church is concerned. This was Friday night. This was our first introduction to the ministry. I did post this picture on Facebook. Friday evening into the night was youth night, and it really was neat to see. They had almost 30 youth come out from all around San Fernando, many of them solid church-going kids that have been saved through the ministry or perhaps were connected with Charity Baptist Church and Pastor Hoffmeister's ministry over there that Pastor Brad started out with, but almost 30 kids. And they went and picked up each and every one of those kids all around town. We're talking about going out, picking them up, bringing them to this play area here that was a public area. This is actually where they did their crusades. If I recall right, this is where they did their crusades. They would drop off their first group of kids, Pastor Brad and Brother O'Neill. They'd go back out, get some more, bring them in. They probably did three, maybe even upwards to four trips just going back and forth. I mean, they are all in. And they are willing to sacrifice so much for the sake of these Trini people. It's an amazing thing to see. Because guess who had to take them home afterwards? All of them. And it was just, it was really neat to see. He left me down there all by myself as he went to go get another load of kids. And I was like a fish out of water. I didn't know what to do. And they were getting ready. They were picking teams. And I thought I was going to be the last one picked. But fortunately, I wasn't. I didn't get picked at all. So I felt better about that. And it was a good thing, though. It was okay. We were able to say hi to all the kids and be introduced to them. Alicia got to meet many of the girls. I got to meet many of the boys. Alicia ended up sitting with Charisse that I had just talked about and got to know her quite a bit. And I kind of made my way up there just so I could watch from a distance and kind of see how Brother O'Neill and Pastor Brad were working. And they played soccer. And it's just a good thing that I did not participate, because I would have been cowering the whole time, because it's just different. That's kind of their second nature over there, is soccer. They call it football, of course. It's not the football we know, but they were pretty intense, and they had a whole lot of fun. But all these kids, all very obedient, all very well-mannered, respectful, listened to Brad. And after the time at the park and playing there, they headed back to the church. We had an opportunity to sing some songs with the kids, and I had an opportunity to preach to them there on Friday night. And Pastor Brad said, "Preach hard to them," is what he said. He said, "Preach hard, preach on every sin you can think of." And so I'm thinking, okay. So I gave him what I had prepared anyways. And they responded very well. And I took liberties too, just as Pastor Brad said to do. I took liberties, and they were very attentive. They listened, and they were responsive. I was able to keep them involved. This was the setting where I was mocked and humiliated because I don't know how to say Mongo. But it was great because it was a wonderful icebreaker, and it was wonderful. It was after this service right here, he did have, in time of invitation, a young man by the name of Kevin came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So it was really a fantastic night. And then after that, after this time, they played some more games. And they do this every Friday night. Every Friday night. They get those kids in there. They keep them busy. They give them an opportunity. They have visitors come in often. Kids are bringing friends. Every Friday night, they have this opportunity to minister to these kids that are all around San Fernando. A wonderful experience. These are a great group of boys. These were the regulars that were there pretty much for every service. I tried my best to get all their names. The one on the left there is Ricardo. The one in the blue is Nickel. I believe the one in the red is Tertius, if I remember right, and I don't recall the other two. But they're just such a great group of kids. Just so well-mannered and a lot of fun. And you see what they're wearing? They're wearing ties. And those are the ties that came from you gentlemen who brought those in. And perhaps you were thinking, you know, what difference is this going to make? You made their day, their weekend. They grabbed those ties, and some of them probably grabbed more than they were supposed to, as you can tell. But they proudly wore those ties to church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. They loved it. And they just couldn't believe it. It was so cool to them. And they were so thankful. They said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for the ties." And so for those of you who brought ties in, it was such a simple thing, but you were such a blessing to several individuals. And I know more than just are in that picture. So great job. We were glad to be able to be a part of that. So that was Friday night. Saturday afternoon, we went and we were able to participate in visitation. So visitation is kind of a broad term. It was probably mid-afternoon to late afternoon start time, maybe 4 or 5 if I recall right. Visitation is kind of broad. They will go to certain areas in the San Fernando and just do some cold calls, knocking on doors, maybe more of how we understand going door to door and doing visitation. It also has to do with visiting people, though, that are attending the church, just touching base with people. They call it checking in. They'll just go right up and drive around. They know where they all live. I probably should have taken a picture of the logbook that Pastor Brad had in his car. Pages of names, phone numbers, how they were invited to church, when they came to church, what specific prayer requests were, what their addresses are. And what they do is they use that and they just follow up and check in week after week every Saturday. We didn't go to the reason why I told you, remember the nice part of town. We didn't go to the comfortable part of town. We went to a very eye-opening part of Trinidad in San Fernando that really helped us see the depths of what Pastor Brad and Felicia and Cornerstone Baptist Church are ministering to. Those are houses right there that people are living in. They are pretty much tin cans. There is nothing to them other than the fact that someone needed some shelter and they found some scraps and they were able to put something together and find some shelter and make a bedroom out of it and find a place to cook. Just unbelievable. And we're not just talking about one or two. I mean, this is obviously one that fell down, but the reason why I put this in there, obviously there's nobody living in there, but you look at these houses and you're just wondering, when is that house going to fall down and going to take these people's lives? Because some of them are literally, they're just up on stilts, you know, just four stilts, and you can see them leaning. There's no inspectors going in and giving them a certificate of occupancy to make sure that everything is built right. And a great number of them don't even have electricity. They don't have running water, although water is provided through the government. So even though there may not be running water, there's probably some kind of access to it on some level. But these houses are just something. And we would drive up to these individuals, and Pastor Brad would see them. He would say, hey, whoever it is, just checking in. Want to see how you're doing? Everything all right? This is what he would often say. Just checking in. Everything all right? Just as simple as that. And all these people, they would just be so happy to see him, be giving him some mangoes and different things like that. And of course, we were able to be introduced. I would have loved to take pictures of these individuals. I didn't feel comfortable doing it. Like, you know, hey, here we are. Nice to meet you. Can we get a picture of you? I didn't really want to do that. But if only you could see these individuals and these families, the children, the living conditions, the fact that most of these families that we went to are not, they're broken families. No, you know, the father's not in the picture, or it's a single mother with kids from multiple fathers and different things like that. And it's just a broken society. It really is a broken society. And they do a fantastic job of reaching out to those people, going out to where they are, putting their safety, their comfort, and putting all that aside, and just going out to them to minister to them is just a really, really wonderful thing to see. We also had a prayer meeting after we were able to go out on visitation. That was on Saturday night. On Sunday night, we were able to have Sunday morning service. Great opportunity to see Pastor Brad preach. There were upwards to 70 to 80 people attending. And that is all a fresh work that has just been established within the last year with the crusades that they have been doing. And there are probably 50 or so adults and teens and upwards to 30 young people. It was a great opportunity to be there with them. Alicia had an opportunity to minister in song to the young people. And that's all the young people in the... it's basically one big room that they put a dividing wall in, is what their church consists of. And just listen to this. This will sound familiar to you. They're singing... Well, we'll see if you can understand it, but this is what we got to hear and experience. real easy words for you. At least you're spinning. It was so neat to see the young people. It was so neat to see the kids. A lot of fun. And so that was on Sunday. Monday was our day off when we were able to go see some of the island and whatnot. Tuesday was a full day. I think there's maybe just two pictures left here. I didn't get a whole lot on this day, but this one was an eye-opener too. These are RI classes that they're able to do all throughout the week. Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Friday mornings. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. They're called RI classes. They're religious instruction classes is what they're called. In Trinidad, they allow all types of religions to come in to the schools, right into the schools, and to teach their religions to the kids. It's up to the kids if they want to come join them. But this was a real eye-opener because it really showed us what the condition of the school system was like and even what the attitude and the presence of the kids were. And it wasn't good. And they warned us. Oh, my goodness. They were as you can see, I spoke with the boys. Alicia had an opportunity to minister with the girls just on the other side of that wall. And fortunately, she was able to bring a guitar, and she has a beautiful voice, and she is beautiful also. And so, you know, the girls love her. You know, me, I don't have much to bring. And as we're getting there, they're telling us about how these kids get into fights, that they've had to put fights out in RI classes, that they don't listen and how rebellious they are and all these kinds of things. They apparently have taken out the ability to have corporal punishment on some levels within the schools just within the last 5 to 10 years. And they said that the difference that has made is noticeable, that there is no more authority, that the teachers, the principals are able to exert over the youth, and the youth know it. And so they basically run the schools now. There's nothing that they can do. And because of that, the teachers have lost interest, and they'll hardly be there on any regular basis. And so the kids won't even gain any respect for any one teacher because every day it's somebody new. So if they don't know them, there's no established order, no established trust. They just do whatever they want. And sure enough, as we're walking through the school to get up into this room, we could see it. I mean, these kids just could care less. And it was really a shame to see. But we had a tremendous opportunity to minister to them. They do 5 of these schools every week. 5 of these schools. Some are as small as this. I had about 15 boys. I'm not sure how many Alicia had. They said that it was one of the largest group, but it was at least 15 probably with her. One of the schools they go to has approximately 200 to 250 kids that they speak to. I believe Pastor Cable was able to witness that one when he went. It was a tremendous opportunity, an eye-opener. That is Rajin, who has his back facing us that I had mentioned earlier. That's the second time he went. He contributed and was able to help out quite a bit as well. But it was an experience and a real eye-opener to the opportunity that they have to reach the young people of San Fernando and Trinidad. We were able also to do a Bible study at the end of Tuesday. I was able to speak during that night also, so I had the opportunity to speak 4 times to different groups of people, which was a wonderful experience. They're going through the ABCs of Christianity, and they are growing. They're growing as a church. That's a view out of the back of the church as the sun set. I figured I'd go ahead and close on that picture right there. Just a beautiful thing. The sun is about to set, I think. The Lord's coming back soon. They don't have much time left there in Trinidad. The purpose of this trip was to feel out if there might be an opportunity to go back in the future. I do believe that there is an opportunity. I was able to speak with Pastor Brad. I think that if things would work out and the Lord would bless and be able to arrange things, that we would be able to bring back some people who are interested in going and ministering. And there is a lot to do. And so maybe even start praying about an opportunity such like that. If that would be something you would be interested in doing, We want you to know that that was the intentions of this trip, and we want to lay that out there and be a help and a support to that ministry that they have going on down there. So maybe even begin to pray about that. We, of course, don't have any time frame or any real idea of when we would put something like that together, but we hope that it will be something that we can do and be a blessing to them. So any real quick questions? I know Mr. Ray had a question, so any questions, Darcelle? It certainly was difficult. When I worked at Niagara Trust and Palette, there were several Jamaicans straight from Jamaica that worked there. And so I have personally had some experience with that type of fast English. And that's really what it is. It can be a very strong accent, but really the hardness of it is that some of them speak so fast. It's hard to grab it. And so there were certainly some people where we just kind of looked at them and we said, what? Maybe a couple times? And then we gave up and just shook our head, you know? But for the most part, it really was, as long as you paid attention and you really focused, it got easier as the week went on because you get used to it and you kind of get settled in the mindset and what they're saying. But really, for the most part, we didn't have any trouble communicating with any of them. And they all speak English. It's an English-speaking colony. There's a lot of British history that is there in Trinidad. Anything else? Anybody else? Take your Bibles. We're just going to read the passage. We're not going to. It's already 7:07 and the watermelon is ready for us. So I just want to read the passage. I don't have any notes for this, so don't sweat it out. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. For many of us, it's a very familiar passage. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, it says, "But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Alicia and I had an opportunity to see the multitudes when we went to Trinidad. And I think that sometimes our problem is that we don't see the multitudes. Notice when Jesus was moved with compassion, it was when he saw the multitudes. We get so busy in our lives, we get so distracted, we have our own burdens to bear. And I don't think that it's, I think it's probably true for all of us that we stop seeing the multitudes. We stop seeing the individuals. We stop seeing the people. Jesus saw them. He saw that they had a need. And then he saw how many of them there were. And he said, truly, the harvest is plenteous. I just looked up these statistics. There's 7.6 billion people in the world right now. As of 2016, there are 1.365 million people in Trinidad. In San Fernando, there's 48,838. That's the amount of people that Cornerstone Baptist Church has the opportunity to minister to. And we need to pray for them, and we need to help them and support them. In the United States, there's 325.7 million. In the state of New York, as of 2017, there's 19.85 million people. In Alma, New York, this is going back to the 2010 census, the latest numbers I could find, there are 11,317 souls just around us right here in Alma. The harvest truly is plenteous. And the question is are we seeing them? Are we seeing them? Because the harvest is truly plenteous. And then Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Unfortunately, the majority of people, they're not getting busy in the harvest. And that's what we need to do. So in light of that, I want to encourage you, let's get busy here in our place, in our mission field, in our area, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, here in Elma, New York, East Aurora, West Seneca, Wales, Strikersville, wherever you might live, let's get busy. But let's first start by seeing the multitudes. We got to see the multitudes. We got to see their need and what we can do to meet those needs and help them. And of course, their greatest need is that they need Jesus Christ. So pray what the Lord would have you to do by way of getting out into that harvest And then pray for those who are already out there, such as the Barkowski family. All right, we're just going to dismiss in prayer. I'll go ahead and dismiss in prayer, praying for the watermelon. We'll dismiss right after that. Everybody's invited to stay here and enjoy it. It'll be underneath the carport. Now, it's a beautiful night outside, so feel free to go out there. There'll be some water. Don't be shy. There's a lot of watermelon out there. And let's enjoy it. So let's all stand.